different songs. And on Friday, I met with this girl, and she's had a lot of struggles in her life. And we got to spend about an hour and a half together, and she got to know Christ as her Savior. But this morning, I just kind of wanted to share a song with you that we've played in Bible study that it's kind of edgy for church. It's actually really edgy for church. But it's where a lot of these kids are. And so if me playing the song that I'm about to play gets you a little bit upset or makes you feel uncomfortable, I understand that. And take it up with one of the other elders. I think Randy's fielding all complaints today, so he told me that earlier. They'll have to fight over that. But I want you to listen to the heart of this song, and I know you'll be able to relate to it if you don't judge it in the beginning. And then we're going to talk about it, because I think it's a struggle that a lot of the people that we bump into on a daily basis, this is where they are in life. And then I want to try to help us, and maybe you're there too, but I want to try to help us move from that place to the place where God wants us to be. So, Michael, if you would go ahead.
When I die, I put my ashes in the trash bag. I don't care where they go. Don't waste your money on my gravestone. I'm more concerned about my soul. Everybody's gonna die. Don't everybody live though? Sometimes I look up to the sky and wonder, do you see us down here? Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Do you see us down here? Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Do you see us down here? Oh Lord. Oh Lord, do you see us down here? Oh Lord, oh Lord. Listen, yeah, everybody wants change. Don't nobody wanna change though. Don't nobody wanna pray till they got something to pray for. Now everybody's gonna die, but don't everybody live though. Sometimes I look up to the sky and wonder, do you see us down? To blame God, but harder to fix things. We look in the skylight, why ain't you listening? Watching the news in our living rooms on the big screens and talking about if God's really real, and where is he? You see, the same God that we're saying might not even exist becomes real to us, but only when we're dying in bed. When you're healthy, it's like we don't really care for him then. Leave me alone, God, I'll call you when I need you again, which is funny. Everyone will sleep in abused and blame God for our problems like he's sleeping on you. We turn our backs on him. What are you expecting to do? It's hard to answer prayers when nobody's praying to you. I look around at this world we walk on. It's a smack in the face. Don't ever tell me there's no God. And if there isn't, then what are we here for? And what are y'all doing down there? I don't know, Lord. Do you see? See us down here, yeah, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord.
seals.
It's one of the kids' favorite songs that we like to play. We don't play it every week. Don't play it very often, actually. But it's a powerful song. And it asks the question, does God see us? And that question kind of is, it represents a lot of different questions. One of the questions it represents is God there? Is He even real? Is there really a God at all? And we live in a culture that rejects the idea of God. We live in a culture that worships self. And so these kids grow up and they're torn, confused. They know there's a God deep in their heart. Everyone knows that there's a God. But on the surface, we're all taught to pretend like there isn't one. And all of these kids come from a background of going through some deep struggles, some very hard times in their life. And struggles are something that we all experience. If you look around to the people that are sitting next to you, right now you're sitting next to someone who is going through a struggle right now. Some of the struggles that we face are so great that they cause us to doubt our faith in God. Or in other words, they reveal what is lacking in our faith. And so, as Christians, sometimes we're asked to answer that question, is God real? And there are a lot of different ways to answer that question. And I want to give you two of the empty answers that I don't recommend. One of them is intelligent design. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying intelligent design is a bad argument for God's existence, or any of the other arguments for God's existence are bad arguments. They're very good arguments. We should know them, and we should be ready to be able to argue them, because they are the truth. Our world does show an incredible amount, an overwhelming amount of design, and demands a designer. That's not why it's an empty answer. It's an empty answer because it's not the answer to the question that's being asked. When somebody asks, is God real? They're not asking for a scientific answer or a philosophical answer. Another answer that is very empty is, things will get better. It just takes time. Now, that is also a true statement. Things will get better, hopefully. They could also get worse. In answering this question, is God real? One of the things that we must do is we must address the pain that people are experiencing. If we do not address the pain that they're going through, our answer will come off as hollow and helpless. And in order to address the pain that they're going through, we must remember three things. Care, listen, understand. We must care about the individual that is asking that question. Care enough to take time out of our day to pursue where they are in life. To take the time to listen to their struggles. To listen to how they got to where they are in life. To listen to what they wanted to be and now can no longer be. What was taken from them? What was done to them? And then to understand. To understand where that question is coming from. Their heart. What do they desire to know? When somebody asks the question, does God see us? Is He there? They're looking for an answer. But for the most part, they already know the answer. And so they're looking for something that's going to make sense of the world that they see around them with the truth that they know deep down inside of them. The Bible says that everyone can see that God is real. Everyone can look at the creation and know that we have been made by God. Even if you call yourself an atheist, you know that intrinsically. It's knowledge that we're born with. But we reject that knowledge oftentimes because of the world that we see around us doesn't match up, doesn't line up with what we know to be right. Things aren't right. Things aren't right in my life. And so that comes to the next question that this question, do you see us? The next thing that represents, one is God there? The other one is, does He care? And sometimes you'll be asked a variation of this question. One that was asked to me not that long ago was, why doesn't God like me? Why doesn't God like me? What did I ever do to Him? What did I ever do to deserve the way He's treated me? This is often a version of the question that people are really asking. How can God be good if I am experiencing so much hardship? How can a loving God allow me to hurt so badly? And there are people around you that are hurting badly. Not physical pain, although some of them are. But I'm talking about deep emotional grief. Trauma to the soul that has never healed. Some people are good at masking that pain, and some aren't. Most of the kids at our home aren't. Most of the people that you see walking around on the street are. So how do we answer that question? Does He care? Well, let me tell you, the first three things that we need to do is the same answer to the ones I already addressed. We have to care. We have to listen. We have to understand who this person is. What are the hurts that they've gone through? Who has failed them? When you start to understand who they are and the journey that has brought them to this moment in time, then you can start to help them. Canned answers will not work. There's an old saying that people don't know how much you care. Or people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that is so true. It is true at our home. It is true with every single person you meet. They have serious questions, but they will not ask you if they don't think that you care enough to take the time to know them. Once we have an understanding of who they are, the struggles that they are facing now, the struggles that they faced in the past, and how they got to where they are, there's a few things that we need to understand in answering this question. But the answer is, yes, He does care. God cares very much about you, regardless of what situation you're in. And there's a few things that we need to tell this person. A few things I want to tell you this morning. One is, God wants us to know Him. And He wants to know you. And He does because He has a plan for your life. And it is a good plan. God created you. He designed you. For your good. He did not bring you in this world to torment you and terrorize you. He created you for good, for His glory, for His relationship, and for your good. John 17:3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." God's plan of salvation includes knowing Him. That's the whole plan. He sent His Son down to die for us so that He could have a relationship with us. He loves you. His plan is also for you to have peace in your life. God's plan is not for you to have calamity, confusion, hardship, pain, suffering. That is not God's plan for your life. That is not what He designed you for. That is not His goal for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." He wants to give us a joyful life. Psalm 16:9 through 11 says, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is the fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." This is God's plan for your life. Peace and joy. Jesus said Himself, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you." Once you tell them that God's plan for their life is good, to do good, to give them hope, you must also share with them the personal application of that. After you've understood the struggles that they've faced in their life, you must then tell them, God did not give your mom cancer. God did not kill your best friend. God did not make that guy rape you. He did not make your dad leave. He did not cause your financial trouble. The Apostle John said in 1 John 1:5, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." There is no darkness in God. He is not the cause of your troubles. Sin is the cause of your trouble. The pain that you endure is from sin, not from the Savior. And he does provide grace for you, even in this time of pain and grief. In Psalm 78, it says, "For their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, and he did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away, and he did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again." Even in your mistakes, God is ready to forgive. He is not an angry God up in heaven waiting for you to trip up so that he can destroy you. He is a God who loves you and is pursuing you and wants the best for you. When we place our faith and trust in him, not only does he forgive us, but he also never leaves us. He never leaves. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." We don't have to be afraid of our problems. We can have victory over them through Christ. That right there is where a lot of the kids in our home are. It's where a lot of the people are that you run into on a daily basis. It's where a lot of the people that fill the pews of churches are. We're going to listen to this song again. And I want you to think about those questions. And I want you to think about what is the answer of your heart to those questions. What does your heart say? What are you convinced of in your mind? Go ahead.
When I die, put my ashes in the trash bag. I don't care where they go. Don't waste your money on my gravestone. I'm more concerned about my soul. Everybody's gonna die. Don't everybody live though? Sometimes I look up to the sky and wonder, do you see us down here? Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Do you see us down here? Oh Lord. see us down, yeah, oh Lord. Oh Lord, do you see us down, yeah, oh Lord. Oh Lord. Listen, yeah, everybody wants change. Don't nobody wanna change though. Don't nobody wanna pray till they got something to pray for. Now everybody's gonna die, but don't everybody live though. Sometimes I look up to the sky and wonder, do you see us down here? Oh Lord. To fix things, we look in the sky like, why ain't you listening? Watching the news in our living rooms on the big screens and talking about if God's really real, and where is he? You see, the same God that we're saying might not even exist becomes real to us, but only when we're dying in bed. When you're healthy, it's like we don't really care for him then. Leave me alone, God, I'll call you when I need you again. Which is funny, everyone will sleep in abused and blame God for our problems like he's sleeping on you. We turn our backs on him, what do you expect him to do? It's hard to answer prayers when nobody's praying to you. I look around at this world we walk on. It's a smack in the face. Don't ever tell me there's no God. And if there isn't, then what are we here for? And what are y'all doing down there? I don't know, Lord. Do you see? See us down, yeah, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Can you see it? Can you see it? Don't you see it?
You know, it's an interesting question, and to be honest with you, there's another answer to that question. There's another way to think about that question. Do you see us? And I hope that you're willing to be honest with yourself enough to say that there are times when you struggle with that question. Times of sin, rebellion against God, where we just say, God, just this once, I want to go my own way. Or maybe it's not just this once. Maybe it's more than just this once. Maybe it's a pattern in my life where I'm living for God for a few moments of the day or a few days of the week, and the rest of it I'm off doing my own thing. The answer to the question is, and I hope your heart senses it, God does see us. He is watching over us. The song is not even asking the question, does he see us? If you listen to the words, it's already assumed the answer. The question that the song is actually asking is, do you see God? The question that the song is trying to get you to perceive and to wrestle with is not, is God on high watching down and looking at me? Because the answer is yes, he is. The question that the song is trying to get you to wrestle with and to struggle and to bring some clarity to your mind is, are you living this moment in His presence? Are you living your life with the understanding that God is watching you right now? Are you walking daily with Him, moment by moment? Are you connected to Him, to His heart? Is your heart one with His heart? That's the question. Does He see us? Not does He care? Not is He there? Am I and Him one? Are we right? Are we together? Am I doing what He wants me to do? That's the question. So oftentimes we think about the Christian life is about believing in God. Meaning it's about signing a confession statement. Cody and Carmen, they joined the church last year, I think. Was it last year? Huh? 2 years ago. And we had Angie and Greg went through the new member training, right? And we had new member training. And we learned about what does this church believe? What do we teach? And in order to become members, they had to say, yes, I agree with this list of beliefs. And so many times we think that is what Christianity is. It's a list of beliefs, and if I sign up to put my name down at the bottom and say, yes, I believe these things, I've done my job. I am a Christian. I got, you know, the t-shirt, the plaque. I can put it on my wall at home and I'm good to go. That is not what Christianity is about. You're missing the whole boat if that's what you think it is. It's not about believing in God. Many Christians are stuck believing in God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 4 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not carnal?" So many people are stuck as babes, infants, just understanding the very, very basic precepts of Christianity and not maturing on, not learning, not growing, but stunted. A little tiny plant, never growing up to bear fruit, never growing up to fulfill its purpose, but just maybe not even ever setting on its two true leaves. Maybe it just, the seed grows a little bit, and there it is. James says in chapter 2, "You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe, and they tremble." The Christian life is not about believing in God. It's about being in God. It's about being in God. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will dine with him and he with me." Jesus said in John chapter 15, "As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And probably my favorite part of the entire Bible is John chapter 17. The night before Jesus is going to the cross, the night that he is sweating blood because his body trembles at what he's about to do, was the night he prayed this prayer. "I do not pray for these alone," meaning the disciples that were in front of him, "but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their word," the New Testament, "that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you have loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them." The Christian life is not about just believing in God. It's not about signing a confessional statement. It is about living a life connected to the heart of God. It's about living a life for a different purpose. It's not my own purposes that I'm chasing. It's God's heart I'm chasing. It's God's presence that I'm walking in day by day by day. One of the statements he makes in this song that is so true, he says, "Everybody's going to die. Don't everybody live, though. Everybody's going to die, but not everybody lives." There are so many people that go through this world, go through this life, and they are already dead. They're spiritually dead. And some of them never wake up. Some of them never get it. Some of them never are willing to surrender their life to Christ. And the question is, are you one of those people? Are you alive? J- Jesus said in John 3, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Nicodemus asked, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, you must be born again. And there are so many people that walk through this life and they're dead. And we're not even telling them how they can live. We're not even telling them, would you like to have a life? We're trying to hide it. Yeah, I signed this confessional statement, but I'm not putting it up on the wall. I think I might put it in my bedroom under the mattress. Are you living the abundant life God called you to? Psalm 16:11, which we read a minute ago, says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. And I would submit to you that if your life is not marked by this fruit, you might not be living. You might not be living the life that God has intended for you. You might have some areas in your life that you need to confess, that you need to turn away from your sin and come under full obedience to God's plan. Because I can tell you this, there are times of difficulty, there are times of struggle, but when we have God, when Christ is at the center of our life, we can go through those difficult times full of joy. We can experience pain and joy at the same time when God has redeemed our soul. But if we are not living for Him, I can tell you the feelings that will come. Grief, regret, pain. And even when we are, Satan will attack us with those spirits. But we must hold on to our joy. We must trust in God and walk by faith, not by sight. That is the life that God has called us to. To trust His heart. Unite my heart to yours. Psalm 86. The last point is, are you living for eternity? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You know, I shared this message that I'm sharing with you this morning. I shared it with this girl at our home on Friday. And she received Christ as her Savior. And as we talked, her spirit changed. Her complexion changed. And she walked out of that room with joy in her heart. You couldn't mistake it. That's a work of the gospel. That's the work of God in your life. And if God's not doing that work in your life, then you need to come back to the heart of God. You need to come back to God and say, God, forgive me. I want to be with you. I want to live every day with you. When you wake up in the morning, say, God, I know you're there. We're going to do this together. And live every moment in his presence. Don't get up in the morning and say, hey, God, have a great day. Check in with you at night. So often what we do. And we live our life thinking that we're walking with God, when most of the day we're walking away from him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for what you do in my life. Thank you that you allow me, who's an imperfect vessel of your honor, to share the truth of your word with people and bring them joy and peace. Lord, I know it's not me, it's you. But I sure am thankful that you use me to do it. Lord, I know my heart is not perfectly in line with yours at all times. I pray that you would help me in the areas that I struggle. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be more, not dedicated, but more willing to sacrifice myself for you. Help me to die to myself more and to live for you. Help me to be more concerned about what you're doing in my life and less concerned about what I'm trying to do in my life. Help me to be more concerned about the people around me that you're bringing into my life to minister to, and less concerned about me. Lord, I just thank you for all that you do for me and that you love me, that you're always going to be there for me, and no matter what I go through, Lord, I know that you're working for my good. That all these experiences and trials, Lord, you're bringing it and you're going to make it beautiful. Lord, I don't know how you're going to do that, but I do trust you. I trust that you will do that. Lord, I pray that each one of us would live each moment of our life, each moment of our day, communing with you, talking with you, being in your presence, not doubting, not questioning, but living in full assurance, knowing who you are, knowing that we are your children, and knowing that your love for us will never end. We cannot be separated from your love, and that very soon we will be united with you, not only in spirit, but we will see you as you are when we enter your presence in heaven. But until that day, Lord, I pray that we would live each day in your presence here on this earth, that your spirit would illuminate our hearts and give us a peace that passes all understanding, and help us to pass it on to others. In Jesus' name I pray.